So welcome to the very first Football Fans Podcast. Very excited to kick this off. This is the Football Fans Podcast where we hear from the real fans about real views, real issues, honest and upfront.
To be honest with you, I think Van Gaal's getting away with murder at the moment. If he's any other manager, people will be asking serious questions about what is going on at Man United.
Stop with these stupid statements, kissing the badge and all that BS, because that's what gets fans bothered.
Now, if one day I got to work and there was a big issue, guys, sitting at my desk doing my job better than me, it would hurt my self-esteem. And Ashley Young is that big issue player.
Got some talking points to go through on this first podcast. I'm going to introduce my panel first of all. Everyone's always excited about hearing from real football fans. First of all, let's kick off with our Tottenham fan, Ollie. Ollie, how are you doing, sir?
Very good, Jordan.
How do you feel about this podcast? How are you feeling about
the podcast?
Yes.
Or Tottenham?
Both.
The podcast I'm looking forward to. The season with Spurs, I'm not.
Honest, that's what I said. Nice, nice, nice. And Natasha, have you sobered up yesterday from yesterday's champagne exploits from winning the Charity Shield?
Well, I'm a fledgling journalist, so it's more like white wine rather than champagne. But yeah,
either way.
Yeah, I've recovered and yeah, enjoying the Doritos, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome. And was you impressed with the game yesterday, first of all?
I don't know if impressed is the right word, but I do think you can only beat what's put in front of you. And no one cares how you played when you win 1-0 and get, like, you know, a little backup trophy to start the season.
Indeed.
I'll take that.
And it's finally, we've got
it's a plate. It's not a trophy.
But we'll take it. Beggars can't be
choosers.
You don't
eat off it, so it ain't the sort of plate I know about.
We would.
Oh, did you give it to David Moyes to take with him? Yeah.
And that brings in Marvin, our Man United fan. Marvin, your team is going to be under a lot of scrutiny this year. Spent a lot of money. You said to me kind of off air before that you expect a title challenge at least, or you want Van Gaal out. Do you still stand by that?
100%.
Why so?
You can't spend that sort of money and not be in the mix. We don't have to win it, but I think we were just, I think it's all about levels. So last season it was get Champions League qualification. So the next step has to be title challenges, right? Because we've basically, fingers crossed, qualify for the Champions League. So, you know, be in the mix. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of teams where we drop points where I'd expect 3 points this year. Simple as that.
Okay. We'll get into Man United in a little bit. So we're going to go through a couple of talking points. I'm also going to go through some predictions regarding players, teams, and just general thoughts about the season ahead. Let's kick off with the most topical issue. Yesterday's, as you mentioned, Charity Shield, Community Shield, whatever it's called now, game between Arsenal and Chelsea. Now, what I want to know from you guys is not so much about the result, but I'm going to split the kind of question into two. So first of all, we'll start with Chelsea, who obviously lost. Costa didn't start the game yesterday. Chelsea lost and looked a little bit toothless up front, especially first half with Remy and Falcao. Okay, hasn't had a full preseason because he was off for the Copa America extended break. But they didn't look like fire yesterday. Marvin, we'll start with you. Do you feel that Chelsea need to buy another striker to just kind of make sure that they have that reinforcement should and probably when Diego Costa gets that injury, because it's a bit of a concern. They didn't look too strong yesterday.
Well, I think Jose thinks that guy's Falcao, right? Because they had Remy last season. He thinks he can turn sort of water into wine, do what LVG couldn't do last year. So I think he thinks he's got that in Falcao. I think if he gets a run, it remains to be seen. Personally, I think if Costa doesn't stay fit, they're going to struggle.
I know, Ollie, you're a fan of Diego Costa. A lot of his success last season was down to the fact that he was very raw, bullish in terms of how he attacked defenders. Do you feel defenders will be more wised up to how to deal with him?
Well, yeah, but the real issue is if he's struggling with that hamstring, that's going to be a problem for him as well in terms of the way that he plays at all action style. If you've got a problem with your hamstring and you've always got it in the back of your mind, you can't play that way. So the real issue for Costa about whether he can be the same player he was last season is what's in his head. If his head's telling him that he doesn't feel right and the injuries are holding him back, he's not going to be that player, and defenders are going to find it a lot easier to mark him. So I think there's a real issue there for him in terms of, you know, him getting it straight in his head, whether he's fit enough to play, because this might then become a problem between him and Mourinho, i.e. Mourinho thinking this guy's ready to play, But Costa thinking, you know what, I just don't feel right.
You know Mourinho don't like to listen to doctors, so that's going to be interesting as the season progresses.
But the thing is, though, his hamstrings always plagued him, even when he was in Spain, and he's always bullied players. I don't think he's that guy that will get wrapped. If he feels ready to go, personally, I think bullying is part of his game. Even an injured Costa will bully guys.
I was going to say, do you feel that if they can get what they got out of him last year, even if a third of the season he's injured, when he is on form, that's enough? They'll get enough goals out of him to sustain?
I don't think that we'll get away with that this time. Because I would assume that there's going to be other teams who are going to be closer to Chelsea. The problem the last season was that all the other teams were so far away that
Chelsea could afford to be without him.
They could
Chelsea had a 10-metre head start before anyone else had even got out of bed.
Mm. Yeah, they coasted towards the end without him. But then I always think, you know, people like Hazard and Fabregas, you got people but that will assist for fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they don't score. That's the problem. I mean, firstly, it makes me laugh because everyone cusses about Arsenal striker, about Giroud. But after seeing Remy yesterday, like, Giroud was looking like Fat Ronaldo. Do you know what I mean?
That's so disrespectful to me.
I know. Do you know what?
But
I agree with you. There's only one Ronaldo. The other one's Cristiano. But anyway, that's another story. But yeah, you know, if you want to talk about strikers, Remy was awful. I mean, I'm sorry. You got pace. You've at least got a trouble per Mertesacker.
He looked disinterested yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he's no confidence, no bite, no, not even making the runs. Even if I see you getting called offside three times in a row, at least you're trying. At least you're making that effort. Yesterday, he was just like, boy.
Remy, when he went to Chelsea, what was he expecting? You know, he's gone to Chelsea. He knows he's not going to be the first choice, but he's gone to Chelsea and now he's kind of, he's got that demeanour of a player who's like, I'm not getting...
he's number three.
I'm not getting the chances. Well, I'm sorry, mate. What did you expect? You know what I mean? And this is what I don't understand with players. Players, they don't necessarily owe stuff to clubs. They've got to do the best for their career. But at the same time, you've got to go somewhere where you know your career is going to go forward.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to Chelsea and just be a third choice striker, when Remy could be a first choice for a lot of teams in the Premier League.
You've got to
ask questions about yourself, because otherwise, you know, what are you there for? Just to pick up the money.
Do we feel that Jose now maybe looked at Arsenal? He's not scared of Arsenal, but he's looking at Arsenal like, okay, you're prepared to change your ways this year. Or do you think there was a one-off?
Chelsea still opened Arsenal up a couple of times and they really should have scored. You know, Hazard should have scored. Ramirez, I don't know how he missed that header. That was awful. I mean, that was the only thing Remy done in the whole game, to get that crossover to Ramirez. So Chelsea had chances to get a goal, to get an equaliser. But I actually think that there was no surprises there. But we go back to what we said before. Chelsea aren't a team without Costa. They've got no cutting edge. Every time that ball went up to Falcao, you were just thinking, you're not going to do anything, are you? You're not even going to hold it up. There was no kind of, the ball didn't stick. Chelsea didn't look threatening.
You know what, for me with Arsenal, it's about building blocks, because I remember last year people were saying they can't beat a big team,
and
right?
Then they beat City
and, you know, it's only the charity shield, right? But Wenger doesn't beat Jose. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't happen. So for me, it's all about not just the psychology of Wenger, but the psychology of the players. If they, you know, people saying you didn't win any cups, fair enough, it's just the FA Cup, but they've done that.
Just the FA Cup?
Yeah, I'll stick by that.
I
didn't stutter, right?
Okay, just checking.
Let me tell you something.
Checking.
United win the FA Cup, great, but I still want a trophy. End of discussion. And then,
okay, that's cool. That's why on your website you were going on like you had the same number as us.
Yeah,
equal,
I mean,
number.
We're not
going
to devalue it in public, but I'm just telling you how I feel as an individual.
I think you just did.
As an individual, I'm not speaking for Man United here. And then you can't beat a big team, you beat City. You can't beat Jose, you beat Jose. So for me, it's about whether Arsenal can get over all of the sort of hoodoos that the fans and the media put on them and do, because there's a team of talented individuals there, right? So it remains to be seen.
It made me laugh because he made the point of saying the best team lost, and I remember thinking back to, I think it was a game at Stamford Bridge, and again we had more possession, more chances, and he was like, possession doesn't matter, it's about the result. Well, do you know what, Jose, possession don't matter, it's about the result. They had more possession than us, but we still had more chances on target. You know, we did the job that was put in front of us. Sometimes you can't always play pretty football. That ain't getting you nowhere. Sometimes you've got to grind in, shut down, be sensible, you know, keep your passes
get
short.
Get the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
Ollie, did you see something that you think he may replicate in bigger games, or do you think it was just...
Finger?
Yeah.
Well, he's already done that. He's played that way before. He played that way at City, didn't he? He played a more United defensive game and they won. And he played a more defensive game against United in the FA Cup and they won. And he went defensive after Arsenal got in front yesterday and you won. So, yeah, I think that that's the way forward when he's playing the bigger games. Whether he will do that all the time, I don't know. We'll have to see. But he's still... There's still things about Wenger that you just think, I'm just not sure that when it matters, he'll get it right, you know, because then he'll kind of think, like games against Monaco or teams like that, where he'll think, yeah, we'll just go gung-ho and you'll lose. So I just think that he's kind of, yes, it worked for him yesterday, but I'm not sure it's going to work every time. And the other issue you've got is that someone like Coquelin, he's going to get a lot of yellow cards. He's going to get a lot of yellow cards for you, and I think that that's going to be a problem, especially if you don't get someone to be there to replace him when he's not there, or even get someone better than him. I think that was a mistake not getting Schneiderlin, to be honest with you. And I think in the bigger games, I think you need someone of that level who's going to be able to play that position. I don't think Coquelin is going to get you through every game, especially against the top side.
Marvin, whose decision to stay or to sign will have the bigger impact on their club out of De Gea and Cech? So De Gea, assuming he stays at United, or Cech to go to United, whose decision do you think will have the bigger impact on their club?
Do you know what? I just look at it as a Manchester United fan. When you saw the Arsenal lineup, it didn't matter who was in that lineup. If I saw Szczęsny at Engo, I was like, you know what? There's three points there for the taking.
There's a mistake waiting to happen.
You know what? I don't care if it's a cross or whether he just slices it into his own net.
I'm getting something today.
I'm getting something, right? And there's no mistaking that last year De Gea was the player of the year for us, right? He kept us in a lot of games. And I do worry, and we were talking about it off air, whether his head's going to be fully committed this year. And I think the rest of the players are going to have to step up and get him enthused about still being at United. But in answer to your question, I just can't help but feel that Cech is a monumental signing for Arsenal. Mm. He's not old, he's not over the hill. And yesterday showed it. It wasn't groundbreaking stuff, but it was confidence. Mm. You know, the crosses coming
simple
in.
Simple things.
You know he's going to deal with the matter. Mm. Simple as that. So I think that's going to have a major impact for Arsenal and the Prem. And I'm, as much as I love De Gea, I do worry that his head might have just turned a little bit too much. Mm. But we'll have to see how the season goes.
Natasha, do you think, again, assuming De Gea stays,
Cech.
Do you think his impact will be bigger on Arsenal than
without
De Gea?
A doubt, because I think for, obviously, the whole no men in the dressing room and all that sort of persona that Arsenal have, and someone like Koscielny, who I think has year on year improved more than any other player in the Premier League over the past 3 years. You can see every season he comes back and you can see he's been working at his mistakes and trying to improve. I think having someone like Cech behind you can only elevate his career more. I think we've got a lot of good young players, a lot of good young defenders, and I think learning from someone like Cech is just, it's going to completely change their mentality. And he is a winner. He is old school. He is a man. Do you know what I mean? He's going to have that. He's going to walk in. They're going to respect him. He's Peter Cech. You know,
they're
going to
respect him, right? And his performances speak for himself. But I'm just getting a vibe from you that you're putting him in that sort of Schmeichel type, this guy's a dominator. And I don't think he's that sort of
keeper.
No, not at
all. I just think sometimes, just because you can have players who are really good players, but as people, they ain't got much about them. He's not like that. Having met him a few times, he's a really nice family guy. And I think sometimes it's good to have that older head around a lot of young shoulders. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Because just the way he lives his life, like you say, even though his age, he's always been in good shape. Mm. I can't even think about him being injured because I don't.
Do I still get annoyed when I see that Scully cap? Surely you're okay now. Do you know what I mean? It's all a bit mental. If you're that strong a guy, you think Schmeichel could still be wearing that Scully cap.
Do you know what? If he busts his head again and never plays again, we'll all be wishing he had worn the Scully cap.
If it works, you wear whatever you want on your head. I don't business what you wear.
Fair enough. I'm just telling you how I feel. Like, how long does healing take? Do you need some more calcium? What do you need? Do you know what I mean?
Ollie, Man United have made some big signings this summer. Spent a lot of money again. But a mixture of experience and youth, from Darmian at right back to Schweinsteiger in the middle. De Gea, as Marvin mentioned there, his head might not be in the right place this year. Do you fear, as someone that's neutral here, do you fear for United this season, or do you think that Van Gaal is the man that can cobble all that together, the youth and the experience, and guide them to a title challenge this year?
To be honest with you, I think Van Gaal's getting away with murder at the moment. If he's any other manager, people will be asking serious questions about what is going on at Man United and what are they doing with the money that they've got. The money that they're spending on players is just obscene, as far as I can see. And not only is it obscene, but they're just wasting money. And it's just a joke. I understand that Man United, unlike Chelsea, unlike Manchester City, are a club who generate their own income and they can spend it any way they want. But it's just ridiculous. We're watching Di Maria walk away from Man United after being signed for £60 million. He's disappearing after a year, and Man United are getting £44 million back. That's obscene. That's ridiculous.
If you were United's hierarchy, you would be saying, we're going to keep it and make it work.
I would turn around to him and say, listen, give me another year. If it doesn't work, we'll look at it again. But you need to give us another season here, because we've spent a lot of money on you. I don't really care whether you had your heart set on a move to PSG. You signed a contract for Manchester United. This isn't some small club. You're talking about one of the biggest clubs in Europe. You owe us another season. Give it another go, see how it goes. If you don't like it, or we might even look at it in January, but we expect you to get your head down and get on with it. And even with De Gea, I think they're the kind of policy that they're running with De Gea, and it's all public. Oh yeah, we're going to keep him no matter what. We're going to keep him to the end of his contract. Now you're hearing the LVG saying, actually, I don't think his head's right. We got to let him go. It's like, couldn't you work that out before? It's quite clear. Real Madrid, you're not dealing with... you're not dealing with a situation where De Gea is being tapped up by some small club. We know what Real Madrid do. We know how they get into players' heads. We know what they do. They managed to get Ronaldo away after Ferguson said, I wouldn't sell that club a virus. He ended up going to Real Madrid though, didn't he? The thing is, with Real Madrid, you know what the situation is. You've got to let him go. You've got to let him go and at least get something for him.
But you don't think that, bearing in mind De Gea estimated was worth 10 to 12 points last year, through draws and wins, without him they would have finished 7th, maybe 8th. You don't think that he's that big a figure in that club?
No.
If they can get one more year out of him for a title push, it's not worth taking the hit.
He's a goalkeeper. I don't care. I would look at him and think, listen, Petr Cech, right, is a great goalkeeper, but he isn't going to win Arsenal the title on his own. Mm. He's not going to win. Arsenal are going to win the title because the players outfield are going to dominate the games. They're not going to win the title because Petr Cech's in goal for
them. They might not win the title.
They've got
United.
A better chance with Petr Cech.
Well, that's my point.
But the thing is, in of himself, he's not going to win them the title. I actually think that De Gea, you can't look at De Gea and say, well, last season he did this. That's last season. Mm. That doesn't mean he's going to do it again this season, does it? And you've also got to think with a lot of these players, a lot of these players play really well when they know that they want to go, right? you look at Gareth Bale, the season he had before he went to Real Madrid. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. It always happens. Look at Suarez. Look at
Adebayor.
The season. Look at Adebayor, does it? He's a serial offender where that is concerned. They all do it. Suarez did it. That season he had for Liverpool, absolutely fantastic.
Van and you were just watching Arsenal, him. Really?
And don't forget, Suarez started the season late and then came on, and everyone, no matter who you were looking at him for, you know what? Even though I know what he did with Evra is wrong, right? You've got to say, that guy's a brilliant footballer. Yeah. We all had to hold our hands up and say he's brilliant, right? So they all do it. De Gea's had a fantastic season for Man United because he's looking to get a move. That's what you've got to understand. Fair and point. If that's the case, let him go. And also, the last point about Man United is just that I feel that they're kind of... It's like a kid in a candy store approach to the transfer market. There's no method at all. It's just, oh, Schneiderlin's available. Let's get him. I don't believe for a second they wanted Schneiderlin. They just thought, he's highly rated. Let's get him. Schweinsteiger comes on the market. Let's get him.
It feels like with United, it's like, if you think of like a team, like an outfit, innit? You need top, bottom, shoes, jacket. They're just buying shoes. They've got no clothes. They're just buying shoes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you got your shoes, but you got nothing to... So you've got... What was it? Last season, they just bought like 20 million defenders. And it was like, well, you're not buying players and people are thinking, okay, yeah, I can see this player is going to come in and bring that to the team or do that.
Absolutely.
You're actually sitting there thinking, I have no idea who their first 11 is.
Marvin, go on.
Yeah,
do you know? As a fan, do you know what the vision, the plan, the method is?
I tell you, I was biting my tongue because Ollie was killing me. I just had to bite my tongue because there was so much disagreement. I didn't know where to start. Like the first thing, what he's talking about, Ronaldo going to Madrid. Ronaldo went to Madrid a year later than he should have because we held on to him and he had a fantastic season that year. That's the first thing, right?
The other point is,
Jordan said Ronaldo, that De Gea...
With Ronaldo, you got a world record fee for him. But Jordan, you're not going to get anything for De Gea if you let him go next year.
Jordan said De Gea got us about 10 to 12, right? So if we don't get those 10 to 12, Ollie, we're sitting here. I'm not in Champions League. I can't sign Depay. I can't sign Schneiderlin.
Yes,
because
you can.
I can't sign him because I haven't got Champions League football.
Yes, you can.
Right?
You're Man United. You're still getting those players.
I think you need Champions League if you want to play in the big pool, right?
Exactly.
You didn't have Champions League.
We got Di Maria, yeah, because that was fair enough. Kid in the candy shop. But the thing is, Schweinsteiger, for me, some of it isn't necessarily just about the player, right? It's about the personality. We haven't got a lot of winners, right? We haven't got a lot of steel mentally. And I think Schweinsteiger is a winner. And 30, you know, I worry about him because I think he is injury prone. But I think the fact that everybody's making it seem like United are doing this in a haphazard fashion, it's because essentially if you looked at the United last year, and if Jordan asked me who do we need, I could have told you we need a player in every position. So if we sign a player at every position, it's not haphazard. It's just out of necessity.
Schweinsteiger's injury prone. How is he going to bring his winning mentality to the rest of the squad? Because he's not going to be.
Yeah, I think Schweinsteiger was gettable, so we got him. I think Schneiderlin's going to be very important for us. Schneiderlin's going to be very important for us because Carrick was the only person who we had who was a bit sensible on the ball, could control and could pick a pass. Right, we didn't have that out of any of our other players. When Carrick went down, we missed him. Schneiderlin, Arsenal were sniffing around. People were sniffing around. I think Depay had a fantastic season at Holland. If we didn't sign him, somebody else was going to get him. And for me, it's about, you know what, the cash is all, you know.
Oh, so it's a Chelsea way of doing things. Let me buy all the players and put them on the bench so no one else can buy them.
It's like, you know what, cash is always the thing about, it's all about who's holding the trump cards. Do you know what I mean? Southampton pillaged the Prem last year. You know what I mean? They held the big players, they pillaged it. I think it, from Depay, if 31's what it needed to get done, he's a, as Jordan said, he's an LVG type player. We need somebody who is a dead ball specialist. I think we knew Di Maria was going to go even before he went to the Copa. And to Ollie's other point, I totally agree. I wanted one more year out of Di Maria, yeah? But I think sometimes people get away from the family influences. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, a happy wife is a happy life. Do you know what I mean? And she did not want... I mean, when you describe... And, you know, fair enough, I'm a Cockney Red, but when you describe Manchester to something like the back of your fridge, right? You know that person is longing to be somewhere else, right? And you want... And, you know, fair enough, his house got burgled. There's lots of Manchester-type issues that he was dealing with, and he wasn't a strong enough player to be able to put that to one side and concentrate.
I don't care how strong you are. If someone barges into your house and holds up your wife and your picnic with guns, you're going to be concerned. I don't care how, and I don't like this whole, she's making him leave. Maybe he's just the sort of person, like Cech wanted to stay in London. His kids are settled. He could have gone to Man United. He could have gone wherever he wanted. But he put his family first.
Yeah.
Why are we cussing someone for putting their family first?
And you know what?
It shouldn't even matter how long he's been there.
This is a bit controversial, right? But this is how I compared it last time. And not that I've got anything. I just want to point this out. I haven't got anything against big issue sellers, right? I want to start with that, right?
Just put that out there. Yeah. Right now, yeah.
But
I'm scared.
Like, I do an office job, right? I do a simple office job. Now, if one day I got to work and there was a big issue guy sitting at my desk doing my job better than me, it would hurt my self-esteem. And Ashley Young is that big issue player for me. Right? So for me, you got all of that family stuff you got to deal with, Ollie. And then you're sitting on the bench and watching Ashley Young play in front of you. Do you know what I mean? It's one of the reasons why Pogba left, right? He watched Darren Fletcher get starts in, starts out. it hurts. And I just think it wasn't, sometimes you've got to be big people. The fit isn't right. I think if he stayed another year and he wasn't there.
But was he the direct person in his way though?
Yeah, I think Ashley Young. I think Ashley Young was keeping him out.
He took Di Maria off a couple of times and put Young on.
Yeah.
And then Young was dying.
But to be fair, Young was playing okay. It's not like Young was playing poor and getting ahead of him.
Do you know what
Young was playing okay.
You know when you play a computer game and you level up, you're like extra power for a few levels. I kind of feel that's how Ashley Young was. I don't think he's going
to perform. He's going back to the Argentina team and they're saying, oh, you're not starting, that's unfortunate. Who's getting in front of you? He's getting Ashley Young. They're going, who?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Who? Oh, he's that guy who played a few games for England.
Again, though, Marvin, I put that down to Van Gaal. I don't think Van Gaal was clear about what he... In his own mind, I'm not sure he knew what he was going to do at Man United. He started last season thinking, I'm going to do exactly what I did with Holland. I'm going to play with a three-man back line. Why? With Phil Jones and Smalling. They didn't know what day it was. It was an absolute disaster.
It was a car crash.
It was a disaster.
He
played the free man, and Johnny Evans, he looked
when
ridiculous.
You got journalists asking him at the end of the season, what's your philosophy? Because they've watched 38 games and they still have no idea. And he's saying, oh, well, I'm having to put my philosophy aside. Man doesn't know what he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. It's not the philosophy anymore. It's the process. The process. With him, it's the process. But I just think that his outlook from the start was,
I'm
Louis Van Gaal. It's not about 4-3-3 anymore. It's not about the Dutch way anymore. It's about three men at the back. That's what I did in the World Cup. That's what I'm going to do now. He went to Man United. He did not have the players to fit that system. And Di Maria got caught up in that. So you saying, oh yeah, Ashley Young got in ahead. Ashley Young was getting in ahead because he kind of got the system and played it.
He got in by default almost.
He got in by default, whereas Di Maria was just like, what is going on here? I don't know what my role is. I don't know where I'm supposed to be playing. I don't know where I fit into this system. You know what? Let me leave.
A lot of games last season where you were watching Man U and the confusion was visible on people's faces. Whether it was a free kick, Phil Jones taking a corner. I mean, Jesus Christ, what's going on in the world?
You can't defend that, Marvin. To be
that's some indefensible. That's some Twilight Zone madness.
And the last point I want to make last about Man United. This is the last point. The other thing is that you spent all this money this summer, right? And you've still got glaring deficiencies. And I just think, how can you spend all this money and you still haven't got a centre-half? And you still haven't got a forward.
That's the problem I kind of sense across the whole top four. For all the money that's been spent across Arsenal, Chelsea, United and City, they've not addressed their problems.
Absolutely.
City have spent 60 million on two players and they're still in the centre-back. Before we get to our second topic, let's now go through just some predictions and some suggestions about what we're predicting for the forthcoming season. And I'm going to start with Natasha.
Oh.
So let's start with, first of all, champions. Who do you think is going to win the league this year?
Oh, God. Well, it's probably going to be Chelsea, isn't it? And I don't like them, so I don't want to predict them. And Man City are just like, again,
It's not who you want to win, it's who do you think will win. So you don't want Chelsea to win, but do you think they're going to win?
Okay, I think Arsenal will win then.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Okay,
I said it now.
Ollie?
Are you trying to convince yourself?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Come on!
Hey, why not?
Okay. Yeah, I've got no real conviction about this, but I suppose Chelsea, just because they're kind of, you know, they're the champions and they've probably got the best overall team. But I just wonder with Mourinho whether he's going to revert back now to the... You know, he had that
just
little
grind
period.
Out 1-0s.
He had that little period at the start of last season where they were playing really expansive football and people were like, Chelsea looking good, man. But now it's like since January, they've just gone to this defensive way of playing and I wonder whether they're just going to eke out results.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be Chelsea. I think, you know, fair enough that I don't think they've made that many additions and Ollie and I agreed Costa, they live and die by Costa's fitness. Mm. But when I look around, I don't think United have the personnel to do it. Pellegrini, there's something about him. I don't know
I
if
love
he,
him.
Yeah, he might but be a nice teams, guy, but I just...
His team's
finished.
Yeah,
and
I,
he's
to
finished.
Be honest, I think their signings have been poor. I think they've just sort of thought,
they're
let's stock up on the Englishman.
Yeah.
Do you know what
job.
I mean?
That's the only reason he's got a job.
Yeah. Arsenal, he's got one more year, isn't he?
Yeah, until Pep's ready. That's all they're waiting for. They don't care about this season. They're waiting for Pep.
Arsenal I like, right? I think checks... huge for them, and I think people like Chamberlain are a year older and things like that. But I think Chelsea just have sort of strengths sort of in defence, midfield and up front that no one else has got that similar balance. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I think Chelsea, providing they keep a fit Costa, I think they'll win it this year.
Okay. Let's go back with you. You're three to go down this year.
So at first I just thought, yeah, the three that came up basically. But I think I worry about Sunderland. I don't like them. I don't know if Dick Advocaat really wanted the job or if he thought, I kept him up. I haven't really managed in the Prem. Let me give it a go.
Well, his wife didn't think Sunderland was like the back of a fridge. So yeah, that was a good start.
And then, you know, like, not that I loved Wickham, but they thought we'll sell Wickham because, you know, Jermaine Defoe could... So I think Bournemouth are doing a Burnley. I think they're just here for the ride. They'll take what they can get and go down. You know, I've been to their ground and, you know, just to see a Prem ground that only has three stands is just going to be amazing. You know what I mean? you miss a pen and you just hit the ice cream truck. So I think Bournemouth are just here for the ride. And I quite like Watford and Norwich. I think Norwich have exactly the same personnel that they had really from last time.
Except Van Wolfswinkel, whatever his name is.
Yeah. So I think one of those guys might escape relegation and be replaced for Sunderland, but I can't call it. I quite like the Norwich manager, the Scottish guy. I think he came out of nowhere and really did the business. So if you push me, I'd say Watford, Bournemouth and Sunderland to go down.
Ollie?
I got my eye on Leicester now. I think they're going to go. I think that Ranieri is a bad choice. His last few jobs he's had, he's been sacked from. And I'm not convinced that's a good fit at all. Mm. So I'm going to go with Leicester to go down. And Bournemouth, I agree, Bournemouth will go. I just think that Eddie Howe, he's, you know, everyone's kind of quite keen on him because he's a forward-thinking manager or whatever. That ain't going to cut any mustard in the Prem.
Yeah, because he tried it with Burnley, didn't he?
We've seen a lot of times with these football playing guys who come up from the Championship and they just get battered every week, you know. And you know, when they played against Liverpool in the League Cup, Liverpool battered them, didn't they? I think it was 4-0, wasn't it, or something, or 5-0. And Liverpool were going for a really bad stretch and they went there and beat them 5-0 or something like that. It was embarrassing. So, yeah, I kind of expect Bournemouth to go, and I think it will be Norwich who will be the other team. I think that there's something about Watford because they got interesting owners who they've got their fingers in loads of pies all around Europe. They've got loads of players that they can bring in, and they've been active through the summer. Mm. They've brought in something like 10 players.
I think 11 players.
And they've got, you know, Kike Sanchez Flores as a new manager who's no mug.
No,
so not. I think Watford will be all right, actually. I think Watford will do okay. They've got some decent players. They've got a decent pool of players around Europe that they can call on. Mm. And so I think they'll be okay. So I would go with Norwich, even though the Norwich manager looks like another good forward-thinking manager, but I think they'll go down.
Okay. Natasha?
Yeah, I suppose same as the guys. You always think of the three that are coming up first, just because statistically they're more likely to go down. I think Norwich will stay up because I think the team they've got, like you say, is pretty much the team that got them relegated with a few additions. I think this could be a really big season for Nathan Redmond, who I'm a big fan of. And I think if you get players like him, Bradley Johnson,
Cameron Jerome,
all playing how they did last season, I think Norwich will actually be fine. They might just be like 16th, but I think they'll stay up. I think Watford will go down. I think I'm not a fan of interfering owners. So part of me is kind of like, yeah, I don't even want you in the Premier League anyway. Mm. Go and take all your like players from Udinese and all this. I'm not into that kind of, oh yeah, let's just bring in 10 players from another club. It doesn't sit right with me. So I'm going to say Watford go down. I got a sneaky suspicion Mr. Sherwood may have problems at Villa this year. Let's sell all our players and replace them with people who aren't as good. And he's got no money to spend, and the owner wants to get rid of the club.
I think Watford are interesting because in that they've signed, I think, 11 players, they appear to have gone the opposite way to Burnley, who I think signed two last summer and wants to keep that unity. Watford have been like, no, we're doing the opposite. We're going to
bring in... Well, that's because their manager went, isn't it? Their manager was like, I want serious cash. They said
But still, 11 is a lot. That's a new team. That's a lot of players to bring in. integrate.
But it may work.
Yeah. The opposite didn't work for Burnley.
That's half your squad, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think the key is still some of their players that they already had, like Trey Deeney. I think he's going to be big for them.
11 players they brought in, there's not going to be a lot of homegrowns. That is half your squad. So you're bringing in 11 new people and say, make it work.
And you know what? Everybody that I think is worth a relegation side like some Spurs reject, and I just think, you know what I mean? Because they signed Kapuei, didn't they?
They did, and I just think to myself,
it's Spurs. You know, if you're signing their rejects, you're
infected.
Do you know what I mean? I think Kapuei are thinking,
really?
Listen, take a look at yourselves straight away.
It's post Bale Spurs, isn't it?
Yes.
And again,
Villa as well with Adebayor. Like, stop if you want to stay up.
That's not a player you want to bring in.
You don't want to sign a Spurs player. Do you know what I mean?
Got the luggage,
yeah.
And with Norwich, we made the point that you think Norwich may stay up because it's the same team that went down.
Yeah.
But it's the same team that went down.
No, but
that's why I think they'll go, because they still know they've got some good players in that team. But there's just something about Norwich that
They haven't got goals in the team. Cameron Jerome has
never scored 15 goals in the Division 1.
He's not going to score 15 goals.
He's never scored goals in the Premier League.
Whereas he scores good goals, just not enough goals.
I think that people like Deeney and Vidra
might get
Watford out of trouble.
Yeah,
because
the thing is,
if you've got players who can score you goals, you got half a chance.
I think Watford
have got a chance because they got players who can score a goal. All of them players, I think all their players scored 20 goals last season.
Yeah, but is Deeney just going to be like a light Costa? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's still going to do some stuff.
That's still 9-10 goals.
Yeah, true.
Because the funny thing about it is, when I look at Bournemouth, right, I get what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? Because they actually played some decent ball in the championship.
I'm making my first bold shout. I think not only will Bournemouth stay up, I think they'll stay up and not finish fourth from bottom. I think they might. That team unity, that ground.
I think they're going to stay up.
No chance.
I love
can't
Eddie Howe.
Unlike Burnley. Burnley got a lot of draws last year. Yeah. I think Bournemouth will take a lot more defeats than Burnley, but they'll win more than Burnley as well.
And they'll score more than Burnley.
So who are your three to go down?
So my three are Norwich, Sunderland, and I think Watford may just go.
Okay, Watford may just go.
That's my three. Wow.
It's a risk for anyone, right? Do you stick or do you twist when it comes to coming up? Because if you twist, do you know what I mean? Like those QPR type.
But the
things
I think what
Watford
are quite smart. They've blown a lot of money, but with the TV deal that kicks in, is it next season?
Who's blown a lot of money?
Watford. They spent a lot of money on there.
Parachute payments.
Yeah, so they're thinking, let's just throw money at it. If we stay, we'll get that back and more.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's no point saving the money like Burnley and then going down.
Because I think for a while, like, and I don't mean to take the mick out of it, but the Bournemouth ground, I think Premiership teams will go there and think, This is like I'm playing like non-league ball here, and they'll be complacent. And I think early doors,
Liverpool v AFC Wimbledon, sort of complacent.
I think they'll be complacent.
I think in the first half,
but it was the same with, like, remember when Blackpool went up and they were doing well. Charlie Adam was doing some serious stuff for them, but after a while, the Prem just takes its natural course.
Natasha, first sacking.
I think Brendan Rodgers is bang in trouble.
Oh, wow. That's a shout. Wow.
I'd love it. That is my shout.
Do you know what? The season they, you know, slipped up and should have won the league, that got him a bit of extra time. You know, obviously, we nearly won the league. Da, da, da. He's a good manager. But you've got no Stevie G to save you now.
But even with all that cash, you think I still think they'll give him a full year. And I don't think he'd be the first to go. He might go, but with all of that cash they've given him...
I don't think he'll go at all, personally.
Really? Yeah.
No. Unless they, come Christmas. But I think...
You know what the Scousers are like, though? Boy, if they start getting vexed with him, give it a few months.
Yeah, but they get vexed with everyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Always, I think the leadership make the decisions the same way.
So you think he'll go before Christmas then? Because by first manager going, we're assuming pre-Christmas.
Yeah.
So you think they'll do that badly between now and Christmas? Yeah. Wowza.
I don't see them...
They haven't bought anyone that I thought, that's really going to make a difference.
Nathaniel Clyne?
Yeah, but he's a good player, don't get me wrong. But you got more problems on that pitch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just don't think... Okay, Milner for Stevie G. Yeah, sort of. I get that.
I mean, the problem that Rodgers has got, I could understand what you're saying, that he'll get the season if there was no one else around.
But
there's a man in Germany who's just his shadow is just looming
who's
over Rodgers.
Who's itching to get into England.
Who's if he makes one wrong step, he's out the door.
But
don't
you think
Klopp
thinks he's probably bigger than Liverpool?
I think he's looking at the Bayern job.
I don't think he thinks he's bigger than Liverpool, because really? Liverpool, he's a purist football fan, so he'll like Liverpool's history.
I think he'd go there, but I think he's looking at the Bayern Munich job. Ollie, who's going first?
Ranieri.
Okay.
I just think that he's, as I said earlier, I think he's the wrong fit for Leicester. I think that whole business with how they sacked... I can't remember his name now.
Nigel Pearson. Just call him the angry PE teacher.
Yeah, the angry PE. I mean, whatever went on in Thailand, and obviously his position was seriously compromised by his son's behaviour in Thailand, but that shouldn't have impacted on Pearson himself. And I think he deserved another season, because that was incredible what he did last season.
He's a bully. And they tried to sack him before, and he scared the hell out of them.
Bullying works. Bullying works. If it worked for him, then fine. But I don't think he was a bully. I just think he needs some media training, and he's not very good at it.
James McArthur's neck will tell you he's a bully.
That was bad.
That's nothing to do with media training. That's like to do with screws being loose. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny you mentioned that you think Leicester are going to go down this season, because I think the Ranieri will go first as well. But that's why I think they'll stay up, because they'll sack him early.
Get Harry and Sam. That's the problem. As we all know, we've been watching this football art for a long time. We've been watching long enough to know, right? When you try and make changes in the season and you bring a manager in, sometimes it isn't that easy. There's no Tony Pulis sitting in the background waiting. You know who they're going to get? I just think it's such a bad move. Given the high that they came out of, they were on a massive high after staying up last season. The fans were on side. Everyone was happy. And then suddenly it's like, we're sacking the manager.
And bringing in Ranieri.
That is a typical Duff move from the club.
It's a step back, isn't it? You're going back to a manager who was good 10 years ago rather than taking a manager who's going to be great in 10 years. Yeah.
Marvin?
I agree, Ranieri's in trouble, right? I would have picked Ranieri as well, but I agree with you, Jord, about the fact I think they'll get rid of him early. Mm. Where I disagree with Ollie is Pearson, under no circumstances, should be managing a Premiership football
Thank
team.
Thank you. Right? Is that the first thing we agree on? Yeah,
you're saying about bullying works. No. He is unhinged, right? I feel sorry for his wife, who has his son and him just under a hill at home. Do you remember? Under no circumstances, like, fair enough, he got a reaction from them, but I don't think they can pull off the same Houdini trick twice.
No.
The flip side of that is, I actually don't think Ranieri has a clue. I think he thinks he can just... I managed Chelsea, I did all right.
Spen at Notts County.
He doesn't seem in sync with it, and I don't think the players will react. But I think Ranieri will probably be the first to go. But as a result, Leicester will get someone sensible in to do the business. I don't know if Leicester used the whole thing with his son as an excuse, but he had to go.
Yeah,
he had to go. He wasn't, you know, the James McArthur thing. The bit when he absolutely annihilated that guy in the press.
Ostrich.
Twice.
Yeah. Ostrich.
And you know what? As I said before, it was, I'm leaving or else I will beat you up.
Yeah.
I'm doing you a favour by leaving us early. So for me, you were never going to pull it off twice.
I think that basically Leicester fans could probably get over the Pearson sacking. What they can't get over is then employing Ranieri.
Yeah. You know, I like Sam. I think Sam, you like Big Sam? Yeah, I don't think Sam gets you relegated. Do you know what I mean? I think he won't get you...
Would you let him manage your club?
I'm a Man United fan. I'm dealing with big things here, you know what I mean?
Sam being not good enough for you.
Yeah, but if I'm a Leicester fan, I would take Sam. You're like, I thought Sam got a tough time. So, simple as that. But, you know, last thing on that, Pearson scared the bejesus out of me.
Bejesus.
Counselling first. All right. And sorry, Mrs. Yeah. Pearson, we're praying for you.
Your player of the year. Who do you think this year is going to be winning the player of the year award come May?
This one was a tricky thing for me. I think it depends on who wins, but I think there might be like a courtesy win for John Terry, because he had a sterling year last year. I think I, for one, hate him as an individual. But I think if Chelsea have another good, solid Prem win and John Terry captains
he'll
that...
He'll be at the heart of it.
Yeah, way, I think there might be... Because I think people were talking about him last year, but
like
just couldn't...
Like they did for Giggsy.
Yeah.
But who do you think is going to have the biggest impact on their team that's been signed this summer?
Again, really hard to choose one player. And, I'm kind of the mind that a great signing is someone who you get for next to nothing and they turn out to be fantastic. So, you know, Schneiderlin might well be great for Man United, but they paid 25 million for him, so that doesn't count to me in my book. So, you know, or Depay, 31 million. I think there's a lot of good value for money signings that have been made. It'd be interesting to see, for instance, how these players at Southampton have signed to replace Schneiderlin, like Clancy, and I think they bought a guy from Sporting Lisbon as well, the right back, Cedric Suarez, I think, and he's supposed to be highly rated. So they're good players, and Southampton have shown before that they can replace, they can sell these players for big money and then replace them with players who are just as good. And Mane is someone who's a good example of that as well. But you were saying earlier about Villa, but I think that Villa might have made some decent signings, actually. Because I think the left back is supposed to be really, really highly rated in France. They've basically gone down the same road that Newcastle have gone, going and getting cheap French players from Ligue 1 and bringing them to the Premier League.
Can I say one? Sorry, I'm going to add another one. Kabaye to Palace.
Mm. Yeah, that's another good one. Well, for Crystal Palace, I mean, they spent a lot of money on him, but again, it's what you were saying earlier, Jordan, that I think with Palace, they're looking at it and saying, listen, if this guy helps us stay in the Premier League and we're in the Premier League,
10 million is nothing.
Yeah, we're in the Premier League next year when the big money comes in from the new
Pardew
TV
wants
deal,
a cut.
Then it means nothing. Mm. It means absolutely nothing. So it's good. It's good. It's all good. And then, we talked about Ibrahim Afellay as well at Stoke.
Great signing.
Again, one of those things that you think, what is Ibrahim Afellay doing going to Stoke?
Don't knock Stoke, they're playing
some good
football.
I'm not knocking Stoke. I think that's a fantastic signing. The only question is, can they keep him fit? If they can keep him fit and he can get back to the way he was playing, you know, 3 or 4 years or 4 or 5 years ago, then they've got a fantastic signing. He's 29 years old. He's at the peak of his career. There's no reason. And they got him on a free. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that you can get good deals out there for frees.
Me, it's out of Petr Cech and James Milner. Right, okay. Milner was a free, right? Gerrard is is big shoes to fill. I think Milner is a person who is Prem pedigree through and through.
He'll be up for it.
You won't see him have a poor game, right? He might have an average game, but generally he works to a high standard. So I'm going to go with him because he was a free. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I think in terms of going back to Ollie's point about who's going to make a difference for little or no cash, you know, you've got... City wanted him, but I think the difference between Milner and so many other players in the league was it wasn't about cash. It was about where am I going to play? Yeah. I want to play every game. Yeah. And I think at Liverpool, he'll do that. So I'm going to go with James Milner.
Wrap up with our second point of the day. I want to get your thoughts on a lot of the talk and cussing really around two players in particular, Raheem Sterling and Fabian Delph, and the way that their transfers were handled. And as I read it, the main criticism of their moves was that they handled their moves very, very poorly. They disrespected their separate fans in the way that they got their moves, and the fans, Liverpool fans and Villa fans, are basically just vexed and feel like they're entitled, as do the managers to a degree, some level of loyalty and respect. Now, some fans will say, we put the money in their pocket, we make them millionaires. Managers will say, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have got a play, Sterling. You would have been on the bench and you might have been the superstar in the shop window, blah, blah, blah. And it's possibly true. So the question I want to ask the three of you is, do football players owe fans, managers, and ultimately clubs any kind of loyalty or any kind of... Is there a certain way to leave a club? Does anyone have any sympathy for the fans of Liverpool or Villa?
I think I don't like how Sterling's agent went about orchestrating his move. Mm-hmm. I just think that's unclassy. I'm just one of them people, you don't really talk about money, you don't talk about your business like that in the public domain. I think for Delph, it was very different. He was made promises, and those promises were quickly broken. So his attitude was, boy, well, if you ain't sticking to your word, why should I?
But bearing in mind the speech that, well, not speech, the statement he made regarding the loyalty, twice I think he made that kind of statement. Do you feel that it was a statement that was he said because
I think players need to shut up, really. The agents need to shut up because it's their agents that are, I know it's coming from the player's mouth. The players ain't innocent, but shut up. Sit there. If you want your move, tell your agent to deal with it. Stop with these stupid statements, kissing the badge and all that BS, because that's what gets fans bothered. But there is no loyalty. Clubs don't have loyalty to players. Yeah, you see someone like Arsenal look after Diaby. That's very rare. Most clubs were the dashing way about 3-4 years ago.
So what about the fans? Do you feel that the players... Because the fans will say, you know, we backed you for X amount of years. We're the ones that pay our money, our hard-earned money. We made you a millionaire. Fans, come on, show a bit
back. The same fans that are saying, oh, you've got no loyalty, were telling him how crap he was last week. So really, who's got loyalty for who? One minute you're cheering him, next minute he misses a penalty. Oh, he's the worst player ever.
You're absolutely right. The football fans are hypocrites. That's the first thing you need to say. But I don't think players owe it to themselves to do the best they can to develop their careers. They don't owe it to it. You know, that's what they should be. That's all they should
by
be focused
possible,
on.
Or
no,
necessary.
Not by any no. means possible. I mean, it's important. They owe it to themselves to develop their careers just as everyone else in everyday life does. Just as everyone else would think, you know what, I need to make a move from this company or whatever because, you know, the money's not right or I'm not being developed in the right way or whatever it might be. People do it in everyday life. There's no different in football. The problem is that someone like Sterling and even Harry Kane, as you just mentioned, if they were to, you know, if Kane was to move now, I would have the question mark of why are you moving now? I don't think it's the right time for you to move. And that's where fans might look at it and think you've done that too early. And Sterling is the same. Sterling has left Liverpool. And he's left Liverpool too early. He probably would have been better served giving Liverpool a couple of more seasons, to be honest with you.
I'll ask why. Because he might think in his mind, I can get in that City front three.
Because you don't need to run before you can walk.
Exactly, and he's not good enough. The thing is with Man City are a club where you need to go to that club thinking, I can make a difference or I'm a go-to player. Sterling's not a go-to player yet. Sterling's a good player. He's not a go-to player. He wasn't a go-to player when Liverpool nearly won the league the other season. It was Suarez, it was Sturridge, you know, it was Gerrard. It wasn't him. He basically kind of benefited from the fact that because they were the main men,
he got space.
But it wasn't like, oh God, how are we going to stop Sterling? Sterling's the main man. I don't see that when he goes to Manchester City now, are you telling me that he's going to be more important to that team than Aguero or Touré or Silva?
But maybe he's looking at it from a case of I'm not better than Aguero.
Let's get this straight. They signed him for 49 million, Jordan. £49 million. They didn't sign him for like 5 million where he can kind of, yeah, you know, I can flit around in the City side. If I'm being signed for 49 million, I'm thinking, they're looking at me as like, I'm the main man. Do you know what I mean? He's cost more than Aguero. Yeah. He's cost more than Silva. I think that the Liverpool fans can rightly look at it and think, well, we think you could have given it another couple of years, and the way that he tried to engineer
yeah,
or his agent
like
engineered, I can see why their fans would be upset with that. That's not right, the way he engineered the move. But I just think that, look at Gareth Bale, for instance, yeah? I don't know a Spurs fan who would wrong him for going to Real Madrid. He got to that stage where he had to leave. He had to go. He got to a stage where it was like, you need to be going to a club where you can win things. You ain't winning nothing at Tottenham.
But I think the point is, he did
a good period at Spurs where he signed a 5-year contract at Tottenham and he played for a long time where you were thinking, is he going to go? And then he signed another contract, which I was stunned about. But he gave Tottenham a good run, and nobody can turn around and say to Gareth Bale, you know what? You just, you know, the minute you got someone put a contract under your nose, you were off.
The thing is, Jude, this is a weird concept, right? But I'm just of the mindset of just play until you get bought. I don't need to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I've got no time for agents doing press conferences and all of that malarkey.
You shouldn't know agents' name,
yeah,
but it should
yeah.
be.
Like, just play until somebody wants you. Let the clubs do the business and then you go. All of this engineering moves hurts me, but I also think that fans need to get realistic and realize that those one club players are long gone, right? Loyalty went out the window with cash. right? Paul Scholes never even had an agent. I learned the hard way, right? The first player whose name I got on my back was Paul Ince, and he went to Inter Milan 2 weeks later. And after that, I never got a player's name
but there
on
you
my
go.
Shirt.
You were hurt. You were hurt by that. What's clearly you
I was
were upset
hurt,
about
but
that.
I learned my lesson. For me, the decision for Sterling to go was made by the reaction of the Liverpool fans. They became racist and they became vicious. So for me, as far as I'm concerned, if I needed any more sort of thought process of whether I stay at a club...
When you start threatening my missus and my child,
the truth, and fair enough, you're going to say, but if he said I want to stay at Liverpool and stay, that wouldn't happen. But under the surface, you know, like the thing that killed me was Gerrard coming out and speaking. Don't forget, Gerrard, when you were basically almost signing on the dotted line for Chelsea, they were burning your shirt outside Anfield. So I love the fans, because those fans will turn on you in a heartbeat. So if Sterling had a bad season and started playing poorly, they would turn on him then as well. So the Delph, to me, class A idiot.
I'm confused here. Delph himself, right? For Delph to sign a new contract, he only signed a new contract if they put a clause in it saying he would be allowed to leave for £8 million. So if you put that clause in your contract, you're already thinking,
yeah, but that's
I'm
just
not
good
staying.
Business sense.
I'm not. No, no, no.
Well, no,
you've already.
They
you're
nothing
already
for
thinking.
Him, so he's doing them a favour.
That's good not. Business. That's good
listen,
business,
listen.
I think it's good business.
Listen.
If you sign a contract,
just,
you have a 30-day
no,
cooling
he
off
made
period.
Sure
if I buy something, you say it's sold.
He
a
made.
Seat.
He
business.
No,
he
I
made.
No, I mean
he made sure that he was going to get his move because it worked in his favour. Obviously, worked for Villa. They got something for the player, but it worked in his favour. That at the end of the day, if anyone comes in, they've only got to pay £8 million. Why are they not going to? Why is a club like Man City, you know, £8 million for Delph?
Villa
is
stupid.
That's worth it. That's worth. Well, Villa had no choice.
Yeah, Villa stupid.
Had
Villa
no choice.
Like £8 million or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could have put a different amount. Yeah.
No, he put it in. So that's what I'm saying. So all this stuff about forget all his loyalty stuff. The bottom line is when he signed that new contract
there
in January,
sign there that
he knew he was going. He was already leaving. He wasn't going to stay.
Liverpool was smart where they were ready to dig their heels in, and the cash meant he'd made his position at Liverpool untenable, right? The fans had turned on him. He didn't want to go to their tour or whatever, and City came in with the big enough cash, right? I think he'll do all right at City, but for me, it's just about the fact that fans need to get away from this loyalty thing because...
The
fans will turn on people. I mean, the best example for that is myself, right? I'm the best example because I was fine with us signing Ashley Young, right? But as soon as I watched Ashley Young play for us, game in, game out, and some of the things he said, I'm a big enough man to say I've turned on him. But the flip side of that coin is players put themselves in the position where they can really get slaughtered because of what they say. Mm. Now, I know Natasha said something about Sterling's agent, right? But, you know, Sterling, you know, he's got a few kids. You know, he had the decision to say to his agent, I'm not going to go and do that interview, right? I mean, what he said was hilarious for me because I have very strong views about Liverpool. But when he was talking, when you look around Liverpool and then you start talking like, it's not about the money and stuff like that. And, you know, you're getting offered six-figure deals. I just think he just needed, I think you can be advised, but ultimately the decision is yours.
He needed a mum to tell him to hush his mouth. That's what he needed.
The decision is yours, right? And he made the decision to sit in front of the BBC and give that interview against Liverpool's explicit wishes. So they've got to take something on the chin. But overall, I think if they want to move, they'll move.
Brilliant. Okay, and on that note, we'll end it there, guys. Thank you very much, all three of you, for your contributions and your honesty and your opinions and all that jazz. That concludes the very first Football Fans podcast. We did it. It's going to be a success. Going to have to down on the phone calling for the file right now and all that jazz. Anyone who wants to contribute also to the SoundCloud page, hit us up on Football Fans podcast on the SoundCloud. Give us your comments, your responses, what you agree with, what you disagree with, and we will check you out on the next Football Fans podcast. Till next time, peace.